The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's good to be back on this Tuesday, the 10th of May, 2022. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and my guest for World News Tuesday, Mr. Mark Palmer.
Good day, Aaron. Good day.
Listen, I am ready to write CARICOM. I don't understand what's going on with this weather. I saw old school Bahamian. I need it to be, you know, either very, very hot or super cool. Like I need to bring out my furs and my Uggs. This, we're going to be super hot in the middle of the day. And then super cool at night. And then in the morning, we're going to trick you. And we don't know if you're going to be hot or cold when you leave the house.
Mm-hmm. It was cold this morning.
Right? Wasn't it?
Whoa.
Yeah, man.
But I think you need to write a Bill Gates and them with their planes and all that. Anyways, that's...
With the climate change?
Yeah.
Don't watch nothing. Our prime minister's on it. In one of his most recent global engagements, right, he indicated clearly that what the Bahamas is looking for is for developed states and industrialized states to take responsibility mm-hmm. for their impact of their development mm-hmm. on the world and to support smaller states like the Bahamas and other small island developing states by forgiving any debt that is connected to climate change, right, or the impact of their actions on the world. So I'm going to turn to my prime minister on this one and tell him, whoever is writing your speech for you, sir, let them write my speech and submit them both at the same time, preferably all under your letterhead.
Beautiful.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is mango time, people. It is mango time. Get out there. There's still tamarind on the tree. Red plum and scarlet plum. They are popping. I'm sure there's star fruit out there. There's mulberries out there. There's cherries out there. The dilly won't stop dropping. The dilly won't stop dropping. Now, you may think that this is just like, you know, a little sugar baby like myself just getting excited. But the economist in me, the entrepreneur in me, the business person in me is super excited because if you are preparing yourself to make a little residual income or even run an entire business off of local fruit, now is the time to start collecting your fruit. Don't let it go to waste. Don't let it sit on the ground and rot. That's money on the ground waiting to be realized, not just in somebody's bellies, but in somebody's wallet as well.
Plenty mulberries. I have plenty mulberries on my trees and cherries. Loads of cherries.
Look here. Freeze them up. No, eat plenty. Mm-hmm. Freeze a good portion so that you have it available. I think
We're going to make mulberry ice cream. You ever had that?
No, man. I don't.
Delicious.
I don't believe in the mixing of cream and fruit.
No?
I'm opposed to it.
Oh, okay.
And perhaps that's why no political party has picked me up because I tell them I'm running on that as my central pillar of my campaign. But I prefer mulberry sorbet. In fact, my favorite sorbet of all time is something that we've made in our company. It's a Governor's Plum Mulberry Sea Grape.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
Sorbet. Yeah, with a little bit of passion fruit to enhance all this. It's NBA time, right? Mm-hmm. Passion fruit is the assist man of the sweet world, of the fruit world. Bay leaf is the assist man of the savory world. You add a bay leaf, it'll enhance the flavor of everything else in the pot. Passion fruit will enhance the flavor of everything else in. And if you marry me, I'll enhance the flavor of everything else in your life. Anyway, we got a lot of things to talk about with world news. But before we get to world news, we got a little bit of sort of local news. First of all, you know, today is the anniversary of the tragedy of the HMBS Flamingo, May 10th, 1980, in the Cuban conflict, where four brave Bahamian souls were lost at sea. And so we stand in remembrance.
They're commemorated in Rawson Square. Do you see they put the pictures up again?
They have the placards up. Yeah. And so that's a great opportunity for you and your family, something to do with the kids. Mm-hmm. Head down to Rawson Square. Take a look at the history documented for you. But today we remember Fenric Stirrup, David Tucker, Edward Williams, and Austin Smith.
Did the Cubans ever say sorry for that?
I'm not sure. I know that Levon Miller did a wonderful series last year at The Guardian on that. And I think that, you know, that commitment from a member of the force to preserve that history was well appreciated by the country.
I agree.
I hope maybe tonight the producers replay, you know, a couple of those episodes in the wee hours of the morning. But I just wanted to make that note. May 10th, 1980 is a day that no Bahamian should forget. Also, on a bit of a more chipper note, festivals are back. Regatta is back. Celebrated by somebody that enjoys long sleep-ins on the weekend, I could tell, yes. So Long Island Regatta, Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival, Barataria Festival and Homecoming, Pineapple Festival, Gregory Towne Luthro, all taking place between June 1st and June 6th. Now listen, I have to say this. Never have I ever thought I would have to critique a festival schedule. But given COVID, I need to get the ball rolling to get community activities, especially economic activities, rolling again. I appreciate putting all of these festivals on the Labor Day weekend and around the Labor Day weekend, right? Because that means that more people are going to be able to attend, get time off. However, how are you going to put all the festivals on the same weekend? How can I go and visit? Like, what if I had a paramour in each of these islands? How could I go visit them all at Regatta if all the regattas the same time?
I like how you say that, a paramour.
Yeah, I hope that's the right way. I hope that's right. Because legally, I don't. You shouldn't talk on yourself, right? Yeah. And then later in the summer, from in the month of July, we have Junkanoo Summer Festival, July 1st to the 30th. Then the All Andras and Berry Island Regatta, July 7th through 9th. The Grand Bahama Regatta, July 21st through 23rd. The Rollville Regatta and Homecoming Festival, July 29th through August 1st. And then Harbor Island Regatta and Homecoming October 7th through 10th. Now, these are just the regattas and homecoming events, right? And family island events. Additionally, Gombe Summer Festivals will take place during the month of July throughout several family islands, namely Abaco, Bimini, the Berry Islands, Exuma, Harbor Island, and Eleuthera. So, dear Ministry of Health and AG's office, this would be a great time to come up with a plan to help people prepare for festival season with COVID. Like in the U.S., you know, they have all kinds of, the terror level rating from green to red, right? We need a system like that so people are aware of the criteria to move to another level or to drop a level, what to expect. So when you're planning events, you may not be the main organizer of a festival. You may be planning a side event, an auxiliary event, but you need to have a better sense of the viability of your event, given the ever-changing or the tenuous dynamics surrounding COVID and the pandemic.
I hear the cases are up, but thankfully hospitalizations are not that drastic. There's no one in intensive care at the moment from what I see in today's papers.
So. Right. And that's good. Hopefully what we're seeing is more contagious and less virulent, less yep. dangerous. and what we're going to ask people to do is to moderate your behavior, understanding that your 10 minutes or 2 hours, or 3 hours, or one weekend of a good time can impact the entire country, right? As we talk about mindfulness, mm-hmm. spatial awareness, and empathy. While you're at these events, if you can wear a mask, wear a mask. If you can wear it, wear it. Wear it until you can no longer wear it and then take it off. Take a break and then put it back on. But even today, I saw a gentleman walking along Bay Street, walking probably not up to, but past the Hilton. Past the Hilton. No mask on. Mind you, he had his coffee in his hands. I give him a break. I didn't see him drinking it. I give him a break. But, it's not just your personal enjoyment that you're considering in these moments. You also have to consider how your actions can possibly impact those around you, your family members, the economy, and the wider community.
So if you're not feeling well, stay home.
Yeah, that's the key.
That's the key thing to it.
Listen, don't go to no soca fair talking about, I'm going to sweat it out. No, you're going to sweat it out onto a whole bunch of people mm-hmm. who don't deserve it. Right? And so for those people who are responsible for COVID checks and enforcing protocols, stay on your job. And for the rest of us, understand that they have an important job because the life they save may be the life of your business. May be the life of your business. Got a text here that says, great show as usual for you and your guests. Who has the best festivals out of all the islands? Boy, I can't answer that. First of all, I don't want to get barred from entry to any festival. But I think that's something that we need to take to a national scale, Texter. Thank you. We need a best of the best festival competition. Right? Imagine that, where the festival's organized so you could get a discounted ticket to attend all the festivals, right? And then you are able, once you buy that ticket, you are able to submit your rating of all the festivals, but you have to attend all the festivals and you have to attend key or signature events. Each festival should put on a similar event and you have to attend all of those events to do a proper rating. That would be great too with a prize money, right? Because if the people say you're the best festival, mm-hmm. then maybe you deserve a little extra bonus to support the growth of whoever's driving that best festival. Oh boy, okay. Mark, I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about today. Let me throw them out there to you. I saw this story. Did you know that as we speak up until last night when I finished my research, there's been a mine catastrophe in Burkina Faso? And there are 8 miners that have been stuck underground for over 3 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And I saw it on Twitter, I realized that nobody was talking about it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because maybe it's because it's Africa?
Yeah.
Maybe that's an example. Because you know what was interesting this morning? In my feed, I get an international notification of the sandals deaths.
Right.
So that was, boom, 3 people. Yeah. Or 3, 4, I'm not sure if it was
3 people died, unfortunately. 4 people affected.
Affected, yeah. But that's made the headlines now, or it's starting to make the headlines. And yet, on the other hand, the story of Burkina Faso
is 4 weeks old.
Yeah, you never see it. You never see those, except in Twitter or kind of...
Right, where there's a freer, it's not access, but there's freer access to broadband, right? To get your story of interest out there. And I realized that there's just a whole lot of news that we're not getting on this side of the world. And I can't figure out why.
Well, there's so much getting on. I mean, one thing I noticed when I used to watch the German news, Deutsche Welle, very different perspective. And then the Indian news, they have a website called We On.
Yeah.
Very different perspective. They're covering stuff that we, you know, particularly these type of stories, they would be more likely to cover.
Yeah.
So I think we just cover our part of the world unless something big is happening somewhere else. But yeah, you're right. We don't get everything. I don't think anyone gets everything.
And so for me, it's weird. I wouldn't say surreal. I don't not really even know what surreal really mean, right? But it's weird because when I grew up, we had a satellite. So you access anything you could find. And then at the infancy of cable, we had access to a whole bunch of stuff. But I remember as a child looking at C-SPAN, which is like the U.S. federal politics and government channel. And I used to think it was the most boring thing in the world, right? And now here I am 40 years later.
Watching it, right?
No, trying to find it, first of all. So you know where to find it.
There are. I mean, I don't have cable anymore, but there are two or three channels that just deal with that. You know, congressional hearings, that kind of stuff. Yeah, fascinating, but not really front.
Right, and so now I realize, though, that with C-SPAN, you just had access to whatever was happening.
Mm.
It's not a matter of, okay, well, we're going to schedule this today, we're going to schedule, we're really going to take that off the schedule. Whatever was going on in the halls of power in the U.S., that's what was playing on C-SPAN. And now you only know what the media house, well, you tend to only know what the media houses think are important.
It's the aggregation that, you know, like Reuters. So basically, you're going to go and look on Reuters, and there's another one, I forget, the name escapes me, and that's where you're going to hit the stories, and that's what you're going to run with.
Yeah.
And so they have, shall we say, a certain agenda. And
right.
That will.
And so all media houses will have an agenda, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it, for most people, like we think we're on the side of truth, we're just on the side that we trust. You know, we're on the side that we trust. But I wonder if people my age, your age, feel the loss of access or the narrowing of the scope of information that we had access to. And although, so like I'm looking at this, the conversation with Netflix. Netflix is losing users. Somebody said, well, listen, if you drop your price point, maybe you'll get more users because some of these other pay-per-view services are much less expensive than you are. And I thought, but Netflix is one of those that we can get in the Bahamas. Like I was almost for it. Like I was almost in this discussion, like, yeah, let's protest, let's lobby, let's get Netflix to drop its prices. And I realized, but hold on, Netflix is one of the only services that's accessible to the Bahamas, right, and outside of the U.S.
Yeah.
Without a VPN, which is technically not legal. I mean, you know, it's technically not right.
I think if you look at the major networks, they are losing, you know, the legacy media, they are losing subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to other platforms like Substack. That's where I get a lot of my information from. And a lot of people, if they've been... So you're going to get a different perspective. So you need to really get your information from as many sources as possible. If you just rely on Fox News, you're going to get a particularly curated set of information.
Yeah.
And it's going to miss half of the other bit that it's not talking about. And if you go to CNN, you're going to have a curated set and it's not going to. And what it's led to is really polarization. And I find, you know, I think there's another topic we wanted to dive into later, the... Supreme Court judgment that was leaked. And there's just so much polarization about every debate. There doesn't seem to be a middle anymore, a sensible middle. It's either I'm all for it or all against it. And I think that these media houses are partially responsible for right. it because they are the information is the providing a very narrow band of information to reinforce your prejudices, right?
Absolutely. And so we can sort of transition into that conversation, yeah. no problem. Because while I was doing research for that conversation, and so let's get into it. Somebody leaked the Supreme Court decision mm-hmm. on Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody got a hold of it, leaked it without outside of the normal. Oh, I don't know why I'm trying to explain this. Bahamians know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, does everyone know Roe versus Wade?
No, but they know about a government leak, though. Right? But so if you could tell people what we're talking about.
Well, I think why don't you do it.
Okay,
that's
so
very more your wheelhouse, but
yeah. This week or last week, somebody leaked the opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States of America on one of the most controversial cases in the history of U.S. jurisprudence and law, which is Roe versus Wade, which is the decision where, at a federal level, abortions were allowed across the United States, right? You couldn't outlaw abortions. And so the U.S. has been a fire. I mean, they've been ablaze since mm-hmm. this document has been leaked. Now, what I have gathered, and just give people sort of a heads up, right? What we've gathered is that the opinion in the form that it was leaked is not the final decision. There are many things.
Right. It's a draft.
Yeah, it's a draft. And there's still...
And how it works is when the judges make the decision, they circulate it. Because if it's a very controversial subject like this, and say, I think here it was majority, but say it's four, I forget how many there are, but say it's a 4-3, mm-hmm. and they want to, or a 3-3, with they'll want to send the decision out so that people can edit it, can look at it. And it's a way of persuading those recalcitrant members of the Supreme mm-hmm. Court to see if they can fall in line with the decision. So yeah. I think because it is so controversial. So it'll be interesting to see whether it changes at all from that draft form.
Right. And so the connection between this sort of media discussion, when doing the research, I'm on Twitter. Now, one of the mechanisms that Twitter provides to help Twitter users get a better sense of what information is valid or false, you know, or patently untrue, right? Just bold-faced lies, yeah. is that you can get a verified user account, right? And so we know that you are the person that we're talking to. That's your name. So like Mike Tyson may have a verified Twitter account. Bill, yeah. The President of the United States of America has a verified Twitter account. And so once the Roe versus Wade decision dropped, a number of people were posting stories about state-level legislative proposals, right? So over the weekend, tons of stories. Idaho proposes banning abortions. Idaho proposes banning IUDs and some forms of contraception. And this story popped up where they're saying that, I think it's an Idaho, but a Senate candidate or a congressional candidate is saying that if elected, they won't appoint anybody who is in favor of contraceptives. He said, in fact, I'm voting for people who were banning contraceptives. And the story came across Twitter as this boy is suggesting that we ban condoms. And that story was shared by somebody with a blue tick.
Whoa.
Right? Somebody with a verified account. Fortunately, the suggestion was so ludicrous and ridiculous that I wasn't prepared to run with it, right? Even to just say, look at this guy over here. He must be very foolish. Yesterday in doing my research, he's already engaged the media house that posted that and got right to the source and demanded a retraction. And he said, come on. Who would suggest banning condoms? Condoms aren't just for preventing pregnancies. Condoms are also for preventing the transmission of sexual, you know, diseases.
But isn't that a position, or used to be a position, of the Catholic Church?
Oh, yeah. I think that fundamentally the Catholic Church...
or any type of contraception, right?
Is opposed to that, yes. But the Catholic Church also promotes, as a part of that same theology or policy, that you should only be having sex with one person that you've done a thorough interrogation with before you got married, and both of you should have never had sex before, and so should not be at risk of having one of these sexually transmitted diseases. So I'll give them that.
It's nice in theory, right?
Yeah. And so in practice, what you find is a more compassionate theology, compassionate engagement with the members of the church.
See, what I was surprised about, Roe versus Wade, it was really, that it was ruled that it was a constitutional right, that the Constitution protects a pregnant woman's right to decide whether she's going to have an abortion or carry the child. And it was a federal, like you said, it was a federal ruling, but then the state, but it was kind of vague. It said to protect you against excessive state regulation. So it doesn't actually say. So some of the states were still, at the state levels, were putting in legislation that made it very difficult for a woman to achieve.
Right.
So even though on the federal level it was allowed, at a state level, depending, usually I think the red states were very much against it, and they would, restrict access to abortion clinics. And so, when I was looking at this, there's always ways to get around everything. So even though this ruling sounds horrific, there are ways. People will always find ways. I mean, what it will lead to is possibly more legal. I mean, there's a lot of ramifications, surely.
Yeah.
But ultimately now in the digital age, you can get pills and all sorts of things from Mexico. They're nonprofits.
Right, but should people be criminalized, though, right? Like, there are ways around it, but should people be, criminalized for something that they have done before and was not criminal, but should they be criminalized for very basic things? Like, some women, like one of the personal stories I saw on Twitter, a woman was sharing that the reason that she takes birth control is not to prevent a pregnancy, but if she doesn't, then she will develop cysts on her ovaries that can kill her. And this is a condition that she discovered at the age of 12, right? And so should she then be at risk of dying a painful death? Because she...
I mean, this doesn't stop contraception. Roe versus Wade, does it? It's a slightly different topic.
Right.
So it's more about what happens after.
Right. And so there's a concern of the slippery, the slippery slope.
Yeah.
We've seen, in fact, so I have a story here. Louisiana legislators advance bill classifying abortion as homicide, right? And May 5th, this is May 5th from Reuters. Louisiana lawmakers have advanced a bill that would abolish abortion in the state. Grant constitutional rights to, quote, all unborn children from the moment of fertilization, close quote, and classify abortion as a homicide crime. The Louisiana bill is one of a raft of proposals by lawmakers in conservative states to restrict access to abortion, and a sign of Republicans feeling emboldened after the leaked draft opinions, which reaffirms what you're saying, that this is an automatic thing, but they feel like this is the next step, and they want to get their foot in the door. Such restrictions could go further than the so-called trigger laws, bans, and other regulations that will take effect in some 26 states should Roe be overturned. Mm. Senator Mitch McConnell told USA Today that if Roe is upended or overturned by the Supreme Court, there might be a nationwide ban against abortions. So if they overturn Roe versus Wade, that doesn't mean automatic abortions are banned. It means that states are now able to make the decision for themselves whether they want to ban abortions or some sort of restriction on the act.
So what I would be interested to know is, and I haven't seen any polling figures of the population. What is it that they want? Do they want this to be upturned? Do they want it to continue? Do they want it to be amended? Because I think that would be interesting, because often the stuff that comes down or the legislation that comes down from top down is very irreflective of what the population wants.
Right, it's really about a political disconnect. Agenda, yeah.
Yeah, so it's either, and you know, the fact that you have a Supreme Court that is stacked in one particular way, one political identity way, it could be stacked the other way, and then you'll have a different decision. So it seems very political rather than something that reflects. For example, you know, if you're going to have legislation, is there a problem?
Yeah.
Right. Is there a massive problem that you need to solve?
Right.
And I don't know if there is a massive problem. It doesn't seem like one to me.
Well, there have been suggestions that there is a massive problem that needs to be solved. But then we would step into what most people would call the realm of conspiracy theories, right? And conspiracy theorists. Until you hear a woman like Jane Elliott, who is a renowned, I want to say, social justice advocate, and delves and has delved at a time when very few people were doing it into race and sex, racism and sexism, and how they operate in the modern world. And Jane Elliott talks about a book called The Birth Dearth, what happens when people in free countries don't have enough babies. This was written in 1988 by Ben J. Wattenberg. Right, and a birth dearth is defined as a neologism referring to falling fertility rates. And in the late 1980s, the term was used in the context of American and European societies. The use of the term has since been expanded to include many industrialized or developed nations. But some people would suggest that Americans.
That will counter that trend, right?
Right, the white Americans.
The effect of that.
Right. And so what statisticians project is that, say, in the next 60 years, by the time we hit 2080, that the race category, white,
shifting,
will shift drastically.
Hugely, yeah.
And become a significant minority in the U.S.
So do you think the fear of that? Is, well, I know when you look at it from a biblical perspective, you know, go forth and multiply. It was really that the Jewish tribes had to multiply to get some size and some
strength. Because it was so small.
Yeah. And so there was a clear economic reason for it, you know. And it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that may be a fear that is driving this agenda, or one of the fears that's potentially driving this agenda or this legislation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it requires interrogation. And forget race. Let's put race aside. Let's put imperialism aside. It's everywhere. But forget race. Look to China. China has 1.5 billion people. There are more people. I think there are more people in China's army. Then there are certainly more people in China's army than there are people in the Bahamas.
There's more Indian middle class than the entire population of the United States.
There you go. Right. There you go. And there are more A students in India than there are students in total in the U.S. And so as we move into the 21st century, with all of the goals and dreams and visions right on the cutting edge of development, a country like the U.S. is saying nothing in comparison to powerhouses like China and India. Mm-hmm. You can't go to war with China. You can't go to war with India. You just don't have enough people. And so perhaps as a long-term strategy, that's what's driving these policies. At the same time, when you look at the United States of America and you estimate or determine how much land in the U.S. is currently unoccupied? The United States of America is underpopulated, right? What's happened is that the vast majority of their population is centered, you know,
in urban areas.
Yeah.
I was just reading, China's birth rate drops to record low. So it's not just the European countries. I think this is something that's affecting the world. In fact, I saw Elon Musk tweet the other day that he saw that as an existential threat going forward. So I didn't actually investigate what he said, but that was interesting.
Tell Elon Musk that him even suggesting that he's going to monetize Twitter is an actual threat to democracy, to life as we know it, and perhaps the beginning of the end of net neutrality.
So how does, going back to Roe versus Wade, how does that affect the Bahamas?
Well, I think it affects the Bahamas greatly. First of all, where will the women who do not know how to have a safe abortion in the Bahamas or a safe termination, because terminations are legal, right, safe and legal, those women who would have gone to the U.S., they're limited. Their options are now severely limited. Right. Yeah. And so I think what we will see is we'll see that impact. We will see more unwanted births in the Bahamas as well. Now, this is a great opportunity for the Bahamas to start by hosting the discussion. Right. Perhaps at the we can host a discussion at a regional level about what do we do next. It creates a space for discussion about human rights, bodily autonomy, and gender relations. I think it's a great opportunity to entrench or establish real conversations about the development and the rights of the child. Right?
Agreed. I mean, the one thing, you know, whichever side of the debate you stand on, one thing I find with the conservative view, you know, whether you agree with it or not, the one thing they don't do is they actually support those women that they're encouraging to have children, right? They don't support them mentally, physically, financially.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to a guy, I was selling selling something on eBay, and we got talking. He seemed like a really nice guy. And he was telling me how his nonprofit had managed to get 120 girls to keep their babies. And I asked him, so what do you do after they've kept the baby? And there was a pause, and the phone went quiet. They hadn't even thought about the next step.
Right.
And we know a lot of those women are going to go into poverty. A lot of them are going to suffer mentally from that. And if we want to really truly support that, you know, if that's your position, you really need to support that woman with that decision that she's made. Right.
And support her in the community that has caused her to want to make that decision.
Correct.
You know, what about, how do we then deal with the stigma and discrimination that women, single women, unmarried mothers face in this community? How do we then deal with the housing issues and concerns and this cultural practice of, oh, you want to be a big woman, we put you out of the house, right? We won't ensure that the father of the child is financially responsible or legally responsible, and the culture of not making them legally responsible so they can be financially responsible only works if the community stands up and demands that the man is, or the young boy's family is financially responsible. We don't talk about the emotional and psychological care that these children need. And then we don't talk about the security issues and concerns, because femicide rises.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Dear caller, look here. I am so sorry. My producers played that music. We got to go to this break. Please hold the line. When we come back from the break, we're going to get to your call. Plus, I did have some questions for the audience, Mark, even though I didn't want to turn this sort of into a hot topics discussion. But, you know, what would you choose if the decision came to the Bahamas? I'll throw those questions out after the break. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Hold on, we're on the clock.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Play this record as frequently as possible.
Friday, May 20th, it's time to feel good.
It's Star Wars 6 and Four Walls.
Feel Good Friday.
Classic.
The Star 106 Anniversary Edition.
Happening at the Four Walls Squash and Social Club Village Road.
It's the after work.
I got so
early vibes.
Vintage.
Block party.
Exclusively for the grown and sexy.
With the best in throwback classics.
Happening at the new outdoor terrace bar at Four Walls.
Limited tickets on sale now at the Nassau Guardian and Four Walls for $20 in advance.
Come out early to enjoy the open room bar from 5 to 6 p.m.
This is a strictly cashless party.
So bring your old school dancing moves with your new school payment options.
Feel Good Fridays, Friday, May 20th.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win. Whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others, it's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay. A better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning. You're back on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're on the clock. Here's a question that I wanted to throw out to the audience, Mark. But I was a little concerned because it's really a controversial topic, you know? The choice was to be made here in the Bahamas, what would be your vote? A, no abortions, no exceptions. B, no abortions, but exemptions for risk of death, non-viable pregnancy, rape, or incest. C, terminations, yes, no late terminations or abortions, late-term abortions, or D, no restrictions whatsoever. So that's not personally to you. Yeah. That's what I was going to throw out to the audience.
You could put that on your Facebook
and see what people say.
What people say. Yeah.
Let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Say that again, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Mark Palmer, right?
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Yeah.
I love listening to him. You know, Aaron, I'm kind of liberal on that. Like, I wouldn't say no exceptions. I would take the second one that you read where there would be exceptions in rape, incest. You and Mark Palmer discussed all of the realistic social cascade of events that happen with an unwanted child.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you should subject a woman, not a child, to that, even though, because this is a contemporary time now. So to bring a child into the world that's unwanted is not right to him. And so, let's say with rape, incest, or for health reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I noticed that Planned Parenthood is inundated within the inner city in the United States. So what you would do is, before a woman, while she's contemplating abortion, you have a counselor in there to counter, counselor towards not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that should be integral, and then they would decide. So you try to humanize the situation,
yeah,
and then let them go forward from there. But I wanted to touch on this population control thing. Do you know, I spoke with you before, and you told me you were familiar with the Georgia Guidestones, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so how could one read that narrative and don't see that it's correct, that this is what they want? And also, do you know that we have a population council, Aaron?
I heard, you know,
we have a population council. Now, the question is, who sits on this population council? And is Africa on the population council? Now, here's what they have here. The population council conducts research and delivers solutions to improve the lives around the world. You really believe in that foolishness, Aaron? Listen to me, man.
Listen, you know, here's what I tell people. The world cannot continue at its current rate of consumption. But the people at the top, just like everybody in the Bahamas, have become accustomed to a lifestyle that they are hesitant to give up.
Yeah, but Aaron,
and, I'm with you. And so the only way they could continue that rate of consumption is to reduce the number of people on the planet.
Yes, but what I'm saying is I want to give a quick chronology here. Eugenics was implemented post-slavery when they saw that they knew that the Negro population could outbreed them. So what happens is they passed eugenical laws and concepts to restrict that. And so there's a book called An American Dilemma, The Negro Problem. So they first moved to positive eugenics, which when they found it in the book written by Gunnar Myrdal, that the white population had outproduced the black population, the white population increased 39 times, and the black population increased 19 times from 1942 from 1942 to the 1950s, but they did that. Yeah, they showed that the white population actually increased twice as much, but they still inundated the cities with the Birth Control League and Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
So most people don't understand the reason for that. And so when you look at, you could go online and just look at the data on the amount of aborted fetuses. It's predominantly Hispanics, predominantly black and Hispanics, but the blacks make up, I think 20-something percent, even though they only represent with 13% of the population
right
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all of these Malthus, Malthusian catastrophe, Thomas Malthus and Paul Ehrlich, the population bomb. Malthusian catastrophe was the world around the food and the starvation would take place. Mm-hmm. Also Paul Ehrlich, he fed off of that. And all of his predictions was wrong about how far the world population would be and the world would run out of resources and 60 million people would starve by the year 2000. All of his predictions in his books is wrong because he went outside of his discipline and wrote this book. So
yeah.
Who don't believe in population control, then that's on them, man. But bless up, Aaron. Have a good day.
No, man. Thank you. Thank you. And so it begs the question, is the Republican agenda a righteous agenda? And was Mother Teresa, right, onto something? And then was our great-great Grammy, who was always miserable and always say, children cry, but yet they come from around me. Like, did she know something that we didn't know? But look here, Mark, I got two more callers.
Yeah.
Thank you, 52. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, this is Darren.
Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you?
Simeon Hall here. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
And your guest. One of the things I think most people, in my opinion, miss in any discussion on population control is that most of the hunger and poverty in the world is caused, in my opinion, again, by human greed, rugged capitalism. I believe that when God created the world, he put enough food and enough meat and enough sustenance in the world. I think it is human greed where 20% of the world own 80% of its wealth?
Yeah.
That is what contributes to, and that's why these same rich people come along with population control.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Bless you.
Thank you so much. One more caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Mr. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Sparky, I hope you're still enjoying your birthday.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Man, after last night, somebody come by my house and took me out by Tiki Bikini.
What? Blessings, blessings unto them and you.
The four, maybe still party, make a party the whole month. What you say?
I'm with you. Once you cover the bill.
We go in different places. You go to your place. But anyway,
she's going to Island House.
To population control and this and that. And the other day, when COVID was going on, all prices started going up and so forth. Like the bishop, the last caller just said, you know, there was a place up in America where they had so much milk from the cows. And before they put the milk on the store counters in the stores at the high price, you know, they dumped the milk.
Wow.
They actually got rid of the milk. They took trailer loads of milk, you know, big containers, like where they get water with aqua pure in them. And they just let it go out in the fields rather than put it there for poor people to eat. When everything was going haywire, all the prices going up. All of this is greed, you know. The greed from higher up people, and when it comes to the birth control, abortion, and so forth, you know, I believe actively your mother and your father, you on your own when you become an adult, and when you reach the age that you will make a decision whether you could have this child, it's between you and God. If this boyfriend or husband leaves you out there stranded, and you realize you can't take care of this child on your own, I believe you say a prayer between you and God. If God tells you to disband the child at an amoeba or as a little tadpole in your stomach and try to improve your life until you can afford one, it's up to you to make that decision and your doctor. I don't think no 38 men down Bay Street should decide for a woman what she should do in her life. No man got the right to tell no woman what to do with her life. That's a choice between her and God. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sparky. Thank you very much.
Sparky did make one point about, you know, the price gouging.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of evidence that, you know, U.S. corporations particularly are the most profitable ever, and yet they're using inflation as an excuse to raise their prices. And so some of it is really artificially induced.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there should be some law against that.
Yeah.
Really.
Same thing here, except I was thinking about that, right? I was thinking about, listen, I just heard the gas guy say that they had a stellar first quarter, like best in years. And then I saw some other gas guys saying, but the price of gas is still going up to $8 by the summer. And I thought, what would we do if we had substantive regulations in our market protecting consumers from arbitrary economic decisions? I was thinking that, and then I thought, but if that happened, then I couldn't sell my tamarind at $14 a pound on the side of the road to hungry Bahamians that don't know where another tamarind tree is for miles because they didn't think that was important, right? Like, at the end of the day, across the board, we need substantive regulations in the market because don't let nobody tell you nothing, but tamarind and gas are equally important. You don't think so, but tamarind is to your liver as gas is to your life, right? Like, you need that thing. You need that. Let's continue the conversation. I will put the question on the On The Clock Facebook page. I'll put it on my page as well. Let's throw that out there. I don't know if we're going to be able to touch it next week, Tuesday, but we got to continue this conversation. Most importantly, Bahamians have a right to voice their opinion. They have a right to be heard by the 38. This is not one of those decisions that the 38, the 39 get to make on our behalf without consulting us.
Well, we have some time with Roe versus Wade. I think the decision is 2 months away.
True.
That's what Juana says. We do have time to discuss this topic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know. I don't know what to say. This is a rough one. I want to tell you, we all have bodily autonomy. We could all do whatever we want with our own bodies. But then I remember, we have children and young people who do need a degree of guidance, and we do need some restrictions, but to what extent do we have the right to control what somebody else does with their own body? Like my good auntie say, if you love the scarlet plum, then let them kill you. But I don't know if anybody can let me eat 14 cases of scarlet plum one time. I tried. That's how much it could take to kill me. Anyway, Mark, thank you for joining me this morning.
Pleasure.
Come join me next week. We continue this discussion. Another text here says, pro-choice 100%, full abortion rights. Thank you to my producer. We got to go. Got to go. Have a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next.